Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, I want to continue what we've been discussing again by reading from the book of Luke, chapter 6, from verse 46. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus said, and do not do what I say? Say, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He said, this man is like a man building a house who dug deep. Please notice the word, who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock, that is a solid part of the earth. And when a flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because he had been well built, or he had been built upon the rock. Now, he said, but when one has heard and does not act accordingly, that does not build his life according to what he heard me say, he said, this man is like a man who built a house upon the ground, upon the soil, without any foundation, that is a proper foundation laid upon the rock. He said, in the same manner, a time will come that the torrents will burst. He said, the man who did this, the torrent burst against his house, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, we have read this to try and explain a few principles in the last few episodes of these teachings, talking about the foundation for life. Now, I have said this to emphasize one thing, that trials will come in life. I keep on saying that the times of troubles will come. In fact, Solomon said that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of rejoicing. He said that there will be times of adversity during which you must consider. When he was saying all of those things, he's trying to get us ready for the time of troubles. And he said these times of troubles, they will come. And what makes one man different from the other is the ability to stand in the face of troubles. It is not that one man has trouble or the other one doesn't, and the other one doesn't have. That's what makes somebody better than the other. What makes the difference is how the trouble affected them. I give an example the other time that Warren Buffett said that these recessions are right in the economy that's going on right now in the world, that they come in cycles. They will come again and again. And he has lived through a number of them. So what matters is not that the economic problems come, is how each person that the thing meets reacts to it. Now you getting what I'm going to explain? So if you are strong, you will find out that at the end of the day, what will have happened is that the economy will have removed all the unnecessary load that you were carrying and will have kept you steady. And at the end of the day, when the whole thing recovers, you will discover yourself, you are stronger. I'm talking about economy now, you even be a richer person. But that when you don't have any strength in yourself, when you went into the stock market just to go and make quick money, you are not acting upon principles, nothing. Then when the thing collapses, you collapse also with it. Because the time of distress will always come upon this earth. Please don't forget it. Jesus said to those who know him and who are acting upon his word, he said the time of distress for them will be the time to look up and know that their redemption is near. But for those who don't have the words of Jesus and are not acting upon them, for those people it will be that the time of distress is the time that their hearts will faint when they behold the calamity that is coming upon the world. So get what I'm going to explain. What we are teaching is how to have the foundation, the solidity of heart through which you go through the time of adversity. There's something I've said again and again, I'd like to say it again. Your life is not an accident. God purposed something to come out of your life. You were born on purpose. He said, a body thou hast prepared for me. Jesus said that when God says sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, he said, then you prepared a body for me. He said, when God did not take pleasure in whole burnt offerings, when he said that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, he said, how are the sins of the world going to be taken away? He said, then there must be a sacrifice that God himself will prepare. And he said, for that reason, God prepared a body for me. So he said, I come in the volume of the books which is written of me to do thy will, O my God, and thy law is within my heart. What am I trying to explain? That Jesus was teaching us that as he has been sent, so he has also sent us. That is, God gave birth to you because there was something that was not working right on this earth. There's a particular purpose that you're supposed to fulfill. God spoke a word concerning the fulfillment of a purpose in life, and a body was prepared, and that word inhabited that body. The Bible says that the word became flesh. What I'm going to explain here is this. When God spoke a particular purpose into existence, you came into existence. Are you getting my point? That is, your life, your very existence right now is a manifestation of a word that God spoke before you were born. That is, you have been born to fulfill a purpose for God in life. And please get this point I'm trying to make. Concerning Joseph, it was spoken that there was a time that his word came, and before that, the word of the Lord tested him or tried him. That is, there was a word that God spoke concerning the life of Joseph, and a time came in which the manifestation of that word happened, that Pharaoh dreamt a dream, and Joseph was lifted from obscurity into prominence. And why was this necessary? Because the word that gave birth to Joseph was that I am going to send a man ahead of my people into the land of Egypt, and that person will cause them to prosper in that land. When God spoke that word, Joseph was conceived. And until the manifestation of that word, Joseph was trained and he was tried. He went through adversity. Get my point? There was a time his brothers ganged up against him and wanted to kill him. But by the deliverance of God, he was only sent into slavery. That was adversity in itself. As a slave, he began to prosper. And then the wife of his master conspired against him again. Again, that was adversity in itself, in which the woman lied against him and he was thrown into prison. Adversity. But the Bible said that in all of these, the word of the Lord was trying him for the time that his manifestation will come. I'm bringing a principle to you that there is a time of the manifestation for your own life also. And what you need to do is to endure the time of trials. There's an African proverb from Western Nigeria that goes like this, that this child that does not die must become an adult. And I'm explaining something here again tonight, that if you do not die in the center of your adversity, one day you will come out triumphant. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's what he said. That is, I must pass through the valley of the shadow of death. A time will come in which it will appear as if things are so bad, like Paul said, that I will begin to desire death itself. It's called walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, but I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Notice that you are walking through the valley. You are not going to die there. If I'm passing through a particular place, that means that's not where I'm going. I have not been destined for the valley of the shadow of death. That's why the Lord said that I am only walking through it. And he said, even in the midst of my walking, God is with me. And I will not die there. I'm explaining a principle to you here. You may have gone through adversity, or you are currently going through adversity. It is not because God destined you for adversity. It is because you are passing through that time so that you can come out into the prominent place that God has ordained for you. Are you getting my point? So the proverb says that a child that does not die must become an adult. I'm trying to bring out something here. You see, a lot of us don't understand that the main assignment we have in life is to survive the time of trial, is to endure the time of adversity and come out strong. God does not expect you really, listen to this, so I hope you can get what I'm going to explain. What God does, and I'm going to teach us that along the line on how to wait for God, is very important. It's important we know how to wait for God. What God does actually is to give us one day at a time. Jesus told the disciples, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. What you need is a daily sustenance. What you need is daily strength to handle the challenges of this day. Because what God wants to do will come out if you don't die before that day. Listen, God has an appointed time for your life. What he's saying is that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death before that appointed time, fear no evil. Just don't die in that valley. The appointed time will most certainly come. The thing that God brought you to this earth for to manifest will one day happen. The prominence, listen to me, maybe you're a musician. You've been thinking of blessing the whole world with your music. Don't worry. Once your motive is noble, you desire to use your gift to bless people. Are you getting my point? What God will give you before that day of prominence, listen to this, is that you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, it will appear as if nobody is going to remember you. Your case will be like that of Isaiah, who said in Isaiah chapter 49, that things were so bad that at the point in time I gave up. I thought that God has forgotten me. He said, because God called me from the womb, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. Then after everything, he hid me by the shadow of his hand, and he concealed me, I get my point, in his quiver. Then Isaiah complained. He said, I have toiled in vain. That's in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 49. And I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. He said, well, yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. Now, I'm bringing out something here. That Isaiah thought at the point in time that all this struggle he was been struggling was going to amount to nothing. Because God kept him in obscurity. He spoke and spoke, nobody believed him, it appeared like. Some probably would have called him a false prophet because the things that he was promising seemed like they were not going to happen. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I'm bringing out an issue here. That's how life might be sometimes. But I'm explaining that all you need is the strength to survive those times of obscurity. Is the strength to survive those times of difficulty. Is the strength to survive the time of trial. And this is what Jesus taught us. Listen, Jesus said the way by which you will survive the time of the storm beating against the house, when the waves will arise against your house, is if you built it on a solid foundation. And that foundation, he said, is the word of God. As explained before, that God has something to say about every affair of life. There is nothing that God does not know about. He, no matter how high tech you think the issues are or how complicated the financial matters may be, God has a word concerning it. And the way by which you will survive the time of those trials is if you have the word of God in your life. And that's what I've been teaching, this way of success. I've been trying to explain that the way of success is the way of God.
The way of success is to learn to wait for God. The way of success is to keep busy doing the daily thing until the time that the manifestation of the word that brought you into life will be released. The way of success is to trust God, stay in the land, and cultivate faithfulness, knowing that surely the justice due to you is with the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? Now, so that's what I'm saying. How do I build that solid foundation? I said we must dig deep. Don't forget. What does it mean to dig deep? It means to remove every sandy thing on the surface. What everybody has been using, I don't want to go over that again, explaining that principle, but I just want to talk about how to dig deep today. Remember what I said? So everybody has a method by which they've been doing things. David said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord," which means simply that, you see, the way by which we know what God wants you to do, it's not by doing what everybody is doing, but by settling down until you receive the instruction of the word of God. How do you get that instruction? I want to get practical. Listen to me. There's no substitute for number one, prayer and the study of the word of God, listening to teachings of the word of God and reading books written by men of God. Listen, I've read management books. I've read financial books. I've read business books. I've read medical books. I've read all kinds of books also. But there is no substitute for the books that teach the word of God. I said, number one, there's prayer. You must go to God in prayer. There's something I said before, and let me say it again. I said, there is a particular pattern that things follow in the realm of the spirit. I said, number one, there is a spirit inside a man, and this guides him towards certain thoughts. And when he uses those thoughts, they produce actions in his life, and those actions are the things that determine his success or his failure. To get the right spirit, only God pours the right spirit upon people. He said, "I will pour my spirit upon all flesh." It is God that pours the right spirit into people. He said, "I will write my laws upon their hearts and put my spirit inside them." It is God that puts a spirit inside people. If you want to build on a solid foundation and dig deep until you reach the bedrock, the solid word of God upon which your life will be built, then you must start, listen to this, by going to God in prayer and saying, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wonderful things out of thy law." There is no substitute. That is where Christianity is different from motivational speaking. That is where Christianity is different from just learning methods. It is an introduction to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to God in the name of Jesus and you ask him, "God, give me understanding and I shall live." David said, "The righteousness of thy testimonies are everlasting." That is, if I know your word, if I know what you have said, then I will be doing that which is right. And the understanding of how to do that which is right is what will bring life into my system. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon said it like this, beginning from verse 20. He said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Let them not depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your eyes." He said, because they are life to those that find them. Life means that the said things are right. They bring healing. In fact, he said literally, they are healing to their flesh. It brings healing to your business. It brings healing to your home. It brings healing to your children's academics. Listen to me. It brings healing to your relationship with your wife. The word of God does that. So you go to God and say, "God, pour the right spirit into me." That's what I'm going to explain. Now, from that spirit, listen, thoughts will begin to come to your heart. And listen, it is possible to quench the spirit. Paul explained to the Thessalonians, he said, "Do not quench the spirit." What it means is that when the spirit of God is coming up from inside you, it wants to lead you in certain directions. It is possible to quench that spirit, to shut down his voice. But I'm trying to teach something today on how to cooperate with that spirit. What you do is by studying the word of God, the spirit that God pours into you begins to give you understanding and give you insight. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And one of the easiest ways I have found out to learn the right thing is to take a book that has been written by man of God on that top subject. Is to take a book that people recommend to you that, "Look, listen, this is what God has said." Listen, if you want to go into marriage as an example, it's my favorite example. You don't just go ahead and take advice from people like yourself, your own friends who also are trying to get married. You will settle down and pray and say, "God, give me understanding and I shall live." That's how what we mean by you start digging. Then you see a book. There are many books out there. Marriage Covenant. You know, books like this have been written by men of God on the subject. You will read them. I remember one of the books I read those days, "You May Kiss the Bride." Beautiful books. Books by Walter Trubbish and other people. The books are out there. You pick them one by one and you read them. As you are reading, the spirit that is inside you is guiding you to thoughts. Don't forget what I said. First, God pours the spirit inside you, and then it guides you to thoughts. You start learning ideas. The things that are not the word of God are being removed by those things. That is the sand. You are digging deep. That's what we are saying. You are seeing what God is saying as opposed to what everybody practices. Are you getting my point? And those thoughts begin to fill your soul. Let me explain this to you again. Life is not a matter of struggle. It is about getting the right thoughts inside you. Anything that is inside you will eventually come out in reality. Let me explain what I say. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. When he talked about the word, he was talking about the expressed thoughts of God. That is, there are things that are inside the hearts of people. Eventually, those things are manifested outside. If you want to succeed outside, the first thing you do is to succeed inside. If you want to be a good wife outside, the first thing you do is to become a good wife inside. If you want to be a good student outside, first you settle down in your heart, become a good student. I'm bringing out an issue here. It is a thought that inside the heart, you must learn to think in the appropriate fashion. And he said, how can a young man keep his way pure? It is by keeping it according to the word of God. I'm bringing out something here. So you take books and you read. Don't ever forget that. You see, look. There is no substitute for reading the word of God. There is no substitute from reading the simple holy Bible. Read it in a language that you can understand. Don't bother reading the King James Version. Get a simple translation that you can understand. Get books that have been written on subjects. You are laying a foundation. How to do business the Christian way. You need to know it. How to run a business. How to run an office as a child of God. There are books written on such subjects. God will be directing you in the direction of solid thoughts, the word of God. Then you make those things the foundation for your life. Let me say something to you. See, there are many books out there, I keep on saying, I've read many of them. Take business as an example. There are many books on how to handle customers, how to do this, how to do that. But you see, those things are what I call pillars of success. Do you get my point? The real foundation for success is the word of God. Do you get my point? For example, Jesus will tell you that, look, as you want others to do to you, do to them also. That is a foundation. That's not a pillar. It's a foundation. Then the pillar of how to paint your office, you can read it. The pillar of how to return phone calls to your customers, you can read those ones. But there's a foundation of things like the whosoever wants to be the greatest amongst you must be the servant of all. That's a foundation. That's the word of Jesus. It's not advice. It's a foundation. So you say, well, I want to build the biggest business in the world. Then Jesus said that you must be the greatest servant of all. So I say, how am I going to serve? So the foundation for my business will be, I want to be the servant of all. Then I start learning the practical tips. I buy a book on branding, on how to brand my products with an attitude of service. Not the attitude of making money, but the attitude of service. I buy a book on how to package my products with an attitude of service. I'm building the pillars upon the solid foundation. Are you getting my point? You know, one of the things I've encountered a lot when talking about, I've left business, and use marriage as an example also. One of the things I've learned is that, you see, people tell you, look, how to approach your husband, you know, how a woman should approach her husband to come get cooking food, to like this, and then they talk like that, like, and then they start giving examples. There's one woman, Mrs. ABC, when she did this, her husband bought her a car. There's one woman, Mrs. XYZ, when she did this, her husband gave her a trip abroad. There's one woman, Mrs. Z, and then when she did this, the husband stopped going out in the evenings. You see all of those things as if those methods were made for manipulating the husbands. Are you getting my point? Listen, but that's the wrong thing. The pillars may appear good, but the foundation is not right. The right foundation is that a woman should be submissive and should respect her husband. Are you getting my point? And should defer to him. Now, the methods, you see, the people we are giving as examples, they really got the results. We're not saying they didn't, but don't forget something. They were not doing righteousness for gain. It's not for gain. Righteousness is not for gain. We build a solid foundation of righteousness. That yes, I am going into marriage. This is how women that are godly respect their husband. That's what Peter said. That's what Paul also said. This is how godly women do it. Whether they are trying to get something from the man or not is besides the point. The point is that this is the right thing to do. Then you learn it. That right attitude becomes a foundation building upon the word of God. Then we start learning the pillars, the practical application of it. Are you getting what I want to explain? Listen to me. When you have done it like this, using God's thoughts and God's ideas, which don't have to be popular, all right, to reform your thoughts, then the actions, all right, begin to change. Outwardly, you are beginning to be transformed. And listen to me, what has happened is that a solid foundation has been formed. And then when the storm of life will break, maybe you're in the poultry business, one day bird flu will appear. And then it will afflict everybody, and the rumor will be out there, we can't eat chicken, we can't eat egg, and all of that. Don't worry about those things. If your business was built upon the word of God, you will survive that situation. Listen, God is not a joker, and God is not a formula. God is a person. God knows you by name. He knows your business by name. The Bible says that the eye of the Lord runs to and through the whole earth. Why? So that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. If your heart is perfect towards God, if you built your enterprise upon the solid foundation of the words of Jesus Christ, then God is watching out for you. His angels are watching you. Though indeed you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because the Lord will indeed be with you. You will go through the time of those adversities. You will go through the time that the rumors are flying out there, but your business will not die there. Listen to what I'm saying. It will not happen that you will be amongst the failures. You will go through trying times. Yes, guaranteed. But having been built upon the word of God, you will come out triumphant. That's what I'm trying to explain in all of this that I'm saying. That is, having gotten the right spirit inside us, leading us to the right thoughts, then the right actions come out of our life, and that is, we have built a life upon the foundation of God. Let me say something before I close today. I was saying it earlier, I need to just develop it further. Listen, when your life will become fully manifested, when the blessings and prosperity and the visions that you have will be fully developed, has been ordained by God, God has set a time for it. No matter how hard you struggle, you cannot make it come quicker than that time. In fact, the more you struggle, the longer you delay it from happening. Why? Because you are likely to be handling the time wrongly. Now, what does God expect you to do? He said that what you should do is that in the time before it comes, make sure that whatever I test you on, you are not found wanting. Let me explain practically. This business is another very good example. So I have a small business. God says, all right. Now, God is looking, you don't know he's saying this, but he said there is a time that I have set for this boy's manifestation. And that time is going to come. Now, you believe the word of God, you founded your business on honesty, on integrity, and on service. Are you getting my point? So what begins to happen? God starts testing you. First, he trains you. That's something about God. He first trains you with the word, and the training is by the word. He gives you the instructions, and then he begins to test you. Now, those instructions were meant to be used as a foundation. You're supposed to build your foundation on that, building your pillars on top of that foundation, and then he starts checking what is happening. One day, a customer will come. Instead of paying you 10,000 naira, he will mistakenly count and pay you 12,000. Do you understand my point? And he will leave. It's after he's left, you discover this man paid us 2,000 naira extra. God is watching what you will do with that 2,000 naira extra. Are you getting my point? Are you going to see the customer in 2 weeks' time and pretend like you never knew? Do you follow my point? Little things here and there. That's what God starts checking. Somebody is going to come to your shop when they're desperate to buy something. Now, he'll see one in your shop and you won't have the very one he wants. God said, let's see what he's going to do. Some of you say, this one is also good. You start trying to persuade a person to take something that is inferior to what he really wants. God is marking it. But God is checking these things I have taught you. If you were the one that wanted to buy something, would you like it if somebody deceived you into buying what you really do not want? Now, please, follow what I'm trying to say very closely. Each day that you go to work and you come back, each day that you do business and you come back, each day that you live with your wife, each day you relate with your boss, each day you relate with your students, each day you go out and you encounter issues in life, God is using everything to test you. There's a tract I wrote titled, It Is God and I. I said, the time that God judges, listen to what I'm going to explain. You must get this point very clear. You see, listen to this. Jesus, God knows something. If the Lord Jesus were to appear at your doorstep, if God appeared in your office, you wouldn't want to defraud him. So he doesn't appear physically. He sends another customer who just walks in. Are you getting my point? Who needs to buy something? He needs to buy a shirt. He needs to buy a pair of shoes. He needs to just patronize your business. Maybe you're a mechanic. He needs to fix his car. He just needs to do something. You know, you're a painter. He wants you to paint something for him. God is watching how you treat that person. Now, a lot of people, you know, one day I wanted to buy something. I traveled on that period, okay? So I needed to change the oil of my car. So I drove to the parts market. I wanted to buy the filter. But all that kind of filter I wanted. Very good one. So I went in there, the man gave me a price that was like three times what I was used to buying it in Enugu. So I looked at him, I said, this is not possible. This price is very high. Is that how much you want to pay? I said, look, I don't have time to argue. This is how much I'm willing to pay. In fact, if I were in Enugu, I'll buy it cheaper than what I'm paying you now. But because of where I am, let me just pay this amount of money. I said, and if you won't accept it, I'm going away. Eventually, he said, okay, I should come and pay. Now, he said, made a statement, which I'm talking about this. He looked at my car, he said, don't you want me to be like you? I said, I didn't become like whatever you say I am right now by deceiving people. I didn't become whatever I am right now by inflating prices beyond that which is reasonable. By using price to deceive people concerning the intrinsic quality of the product. Whatever you claim I am, because he looked at my car, he liked it. And he said, if I don't do like this, how will I buy this car one day? And that's what I want to preach to you listening to me out there tonight. You don't need those sharp things to become anything. The day that you will get your car has been ordained by God. You will slow down that day if you try to hasten that day. The only thing you can do, and I'm going to begin to talk about that from today, but my time is almost up. The only thing you can do is to dwell in the land, the Bible says, and cultivate faithfulness. It did not say cultivate quick profit. No, it said, if I make you a shepherd, listen, I know where to send Samuel when the time comes to make you king, if your name is David. Even though you become a slave and a prisoner, and your name is Joseph, I know how to send Pharaoh into the dungeons to come and dig you out and make you prime minister. What I want you to do all that time is to dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That is what will bring breakthrough into your life. Please get what I'm going to explain. I'm talking about now how to wait for God. The day of your breakthrough will not come because you are rushing for it, but because you are patiently waiting for God. One of the things you must learn as a child of God, as a Christian, is how to wait for God. That's what I'm beginning to talk about, talking about this foundation thing. You are laying a foundation. All God expects you to do is to build your foundation very well and begin to erect your pillars. The day of manifestation, he will personally come. You don't need to beg him. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 40, he said it like this. He said, make a straight way for the Lord in the wilderness. He said, bring down the hills, elevate the valleys, make a smooth path for God. He said, then the glory of God will be revealed. What does that tell you? That God is waiting to pour his glory upon you. But it says the way to your life is corrugated. The way to your life is uneven. I want you to, by diligent study, listen, by diligent application of divine principles, I want you to, by diligent prayer and reading the Bible, rearrange your heart so that it will become a smooth path. Then you discover that my glory will be automatically poured. Listen, I'll develop this next time. One thing you must learn is how to wait for God. Christians that are waiting for God are not people who are sleeping. They are people who are actively using the word of God to transform their lives so that in due season, God will find them in the place where he expects to find them, thoroughly furnished, prepared, Paul said to Timothy, ready for the master's use, made ready for every good work. That is the job you have. You don't have the assignment to try and bring breakthrough into your life. I hope you've gotten my point there.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.